And that's our challenge for this year. I want to welcome all of you here to Thrive Church this morning. My name is Pastor Sheldon Miles. I'm the lead pastor of this church here. I want to welcome all of those who are watching us online in the 715. And we have been talking the past few weeks about this phrase, this motto, this phrase that we have for the year, all in. Can you just look at your neighbor and say, all in? Look at your other neighbor and say, this year I'm all in. I'm going all in for Jesus. I thought that was just I've heard of that story and looked up that video, and I just think that was just so impressive. Heather Dornan, she had every opportunity to say, well, this year's not my year. This is not my race. I fell down, I slipped and fell, and maybe I'll get them next time, right? And sometimes that happens to us. Can you kind of relate to Heather a little bit in that story? Maybe that's been your story. Man, life was going so good, and things were just happening, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, an incident happens, and you go down. You go down on the ground. And it's so easy for us to just stay there and just, well, stay content. Well, okay, that's life. We all have problems. We all have difficulties. And just be content. But that's not what all in. All in is just not being content. All in is saying, I'm going all in for Jesus. I'm going all out in my life. I'm going to live to the potential that He has called me to. A few years ago, if you're new to Thrive Church, you may not have realized this, but Thrive Church had kind of one of those moments where there was a season of conflict, if you will. A season where the church got knocked down a little bit. And there was if you've been in church world long enough, the church went through a church split, and it was divided, and it was hurt, and it was wounded. And there's many people that had left, and that's all well and good. And the church could have just stayed there, could have just stayed in that situation. But there's a group of people who said, they stayed together and said, no, we're not going to just stay in this position. We believe that God has so much more in store for us. We believe that we're called to go all in. We're called to make a difference in our community. We're called to make a difference in this world. And so here we are today, the phrase for 2024, we're going to go all in. Everybody say all in. I'm going all in for Jesus this year. And if there was ever a person in the Bible, when you look through your Bible, if there was ever a person who we really see who personifies all in, I would say it's the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul. We kind of know his story. The Apostle Paul, we read in the book of Acts, there was this guy who was a fanatic. You ever meet somebody who's a fanatic? I mean, this guy is just all in, except he was all in for the wrong things. He was all in for he hated anything about Jesus and hated anything about these Christians. And he went all in to destroy anything that was happening, because the church was just beginning at that stage. And he went all in persecuting Christians. Well, he had what we call a defining moment. Maybe many of you are here today. You had a defining moment where your eyes were opened to Jesus. No, Jesus is really real. And that defining moment changed his life. And he made a decision. I will, from now on, I rejected Jesus, but from now on, I will follow Jesus. I will go all in. And so he went all in to get to know Jesus. And then he went all in to make Jesus known in all the world. I want you to listen to this passage here, 1 Corinthians 9:24. Listen to how he characterizes his calling now. He characterizes his life mission. He says, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one gets the prize? I love this. Listen to it. Underline this in your Bible. So run to win. Run to win. You have been created by God to win, to run to win. He says all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I'm disciplining my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. Did you catch what he said? He did not say, run out your faith journey to get by. He didn't say, run so that you can get to heaven. Run just enough to stay in the group. Run just good enough. He didn't say that. No. What did he say? He said, run to what? No. Everybody, wake up here. Too many of you guys are shivering here. He said, run to?
Win.
Run to?
Win.
Run to?
Win.
Run to win. Live your life pursuing to be a spiritual champion. Like Heather did. You know, again, we all have those down moments where it came out of nowhere. It's not fair. Not fair how I was treated. It's not fair that I got tripped up. But we see in Heather, we see in this woman who ran to win. Heart, soul, mind, and strength. Understand this. Listen to me. You're going to hear this a lot in this message. Understand, all in is more than an attitude. All in is an attitude in action. Let me say that one more time. All in is more than an attitude. It's more than a really nice slogan. All in is an attitude in action. And I think that's what God wants from us. He wants our attitude in action. Like the Apostle Paul said, everyone who strives to be a champion, they commit themselves to disciplines that mold and shape their lives. I want to talk to you today about five disciplines of a spiritual champion. Five disciplines. And this is some of this is just a little bit of review here. But if you're here today and it's like, I'm tired of running in the back of the race here. I believe God has more. I want to live my life. I want to run to win. I want to live my spiritual journey. I want to win. Not only do I want to get to heaven, but I want to bring a whole flock of people with me to heaven. And if that's you, that's your heart today, you want to be a spiritual champion, there's five disciplines that you need to have in your life. And I would say the first discipline, I describe it as this, connect first. If you follow along in your notes, connect first. You see, becoming a spiritual champion requires us to get to know Jesus. I believe all of you are here today, you're watching online, because you know about Jesus. You know about this man. You know what it says in his word. You grew up and you just know about him. But my challenge is not about knowing about him, but just knowing him. Do you know Jesus? Do you know him? In Acts chapter 2, we've been talking about this church, the very first church that was established, the first church. Acts chapter 2, it says that these first Christians, I mean, these guys are just brand new. They just got saved. Now what do we do? This is what they did. They went all in. Everybody say all in.
All in.
They went all in to know Jesus. That's where it starts. It starts with you knowing Jesus more. It says here in Acts chapter 2, 42, and it says, and all of the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. How did they do it? They pursued their connection with Jesus by making him their first priority. Jesus became number one in their lives. There had to be a priority shift that happened. You see, even back then, listen to me, even back then, they understood this principle that what you put into your life is what's going to come out of your life, right? That's the truth. Whatever you feed yourself, whatever you feed is what's going to grow. Either you feed your spirit, this is what I realized, either you feed your spirit or the world will. But each and every one of us, we're feeding our spirit. And what's coming out of your life, if you're just like, man, why is this happening? Why do I do this? Stop right there. Or just kind of replay the video just a little bit and look back and see what you're putting into your life, because what you're putting into your life is what's going to come out. In this early church, they understood this principle. And therefore, they make connecting to Jesus a number one priority in their life. So if you don't like what's coming out of your life, look at what you're putting in. Look at the A number one priority. Understand this, your priorities will always set your devotion. Your priorities, what's number one in your life, is the thing that you're devoted to. So look, if you want to know what your priorities, well, ask yourself, what am I devoted to? Am I devoted to my job? What are the things I'm devoted into making more money? What is it that you're devoted to? And that's why Jesus tells us, Matthew 6:33, we had a group of people and they're all worried about life and having enough. You're not going to have enough food, we're not going to have enough money, not going to have enough resources. And Jesus said, listen. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, but seek first. Everybody say first. Make this first. Seek first His kingdom. In other words, make connecting with God your number one priority. And His righteousness. You know what He's talking about right there? Seek first relationship, connection with God, and His righteousness. In other words, discover how Jesus lives His life and how we're called to live our lives. Seek Him. And then all these things will be added unto you. How many have heard that passage before? I'm telling you, man, that is a solid truth right there. First. What if every day we would make Jesus first? Here are some daily first habits that I would challenge you. Here's how to make Jesus first in your life. The first thing I would do, we talked about this the other week, make daily Bible study. Take your time and study your Bible. Don't live Sunday to Sunday. It's like, well, that was a good Bible study today, Pastor. Thank you. I'll open my Bible again next week. No. You're not going to know Jesus that way. Make daily Bible study. Study your Bible. Learn your Bible. Listen to what God is trying to say to you. Every time you open your Bible, God is trying to speak to you. I encourage you. We talked about this the other week. Each and every month, we're going to put out a SOAP Bible reading plan. SOAP Bible reading. So it talks about, SOAP stands for study, observation, application, and prayer. And I would encourage you to, we have some at the Connect Center in the back, but if you're looking, I don't know where to start reading my Bible, we have a study plan for you. Second of all, daily connect with Jesus through prayer. Listen to me. Prayer is simply talking to God. It's as easy as that. Talking to God. Get into that habit of talking to God every day. We talked about this the other week. We talked about the Lord's Prayer and how it is a template. In other words, the Lord's Prayer is not necessarily a prayer that God, Jesus wants you to say over and over and over again. I think we got that mixed up. But the Lord's Prayer is a template. These are the things that God wants to talk to you about. He wants you to come and when you begin to pray, just begin to acknowledge who He is, God. My Father who art in heaven, He's God, but He's Father relationship that He wants to have with us. Then we pray, God, let Your will be done in my life. Acknowledge that You need His will to be done. And then tell God your needs. Tell Him it's okay. He's a big God. Say, God, this is what I need You to do this. That's the most powerful prayer you can pray. God, I need You. Can we just practice that right now? On the count of three, let's just talk to God. God, I need You. I need You. Tell God what you need Him to do in your life. I'm telling you, we've made this so complicated. And here's what I know about relationships. When relationships are complicated, I'm out. Isn't that the truth? When relationships are complicated, I can't talk to somebody, it's just too complicated, I'm done. And I think the world has made our relationship with Jesus complicated. It's not. It's simple. God created you to have a relationship with Him, to know Him. And God wants you to talk to Him. You can talk to Him anytime, anywhere, any situation. Listen, here's a prayer tip. Jesus doesn't want you to seek him via religion. He wants you to seek him. He wants you to seek him through a relationship. Let me say it one more time. He doesn't want you to go to him through a religion. He wants you to go to him in a relationship. Then I do this. Daily give him your worship. Louis Giglio said this. Our response to whatever we value, our worship is, let me say it one more time. Worship is our response to whatever we value most in our lives. In other words, what you value most in this world is truly what you worship. Here's things that we value. Things that we value, and they're normal things. Some people value their image, their position in their workplace. We value things. We value our finances, relationships, family. Some people value getting high. Some people, their biggest value in life is to be happy, okay? I understand some of these things, but when that is your greatest value in life, that is what you're worshiping. And I think the most important decision of your life is deciding what you will ultimately value the most in this life. And I want to challenge you, make worshiping God your highest value. What does this look like? Here's what I'm trying to do every morning. First thing I do when I wake up, I want to say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. What if you were to wake up every single morning, first words that come out of your mouth, thank you, God. God, I give you praise. God, today I choose to worship you. God, today I choose to come under your lordship. Today, you're my leader. You're my leader. That is worship. What if we were to start our day, every day, just like that? I want you to remember this morning, all in. All in is more than an attitude. All in is an attitude and action. Second of all, a second discipline I would challenge you with is to grow together. Everybody say, grow together. I loved how you said it, together, like that. We're going to grow together. Look, I want you to look again. Look at how the first church lived their day by day. I'm not making this up. Look at what they did. It says here in Acts 2:44-47. And all of the believers, remember that we talked about their devotion, and now they started, okay, now that they've had connection time with God, now here's what they began to do every day. They met together in one place. They shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions, and they shared the money with those who were in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met together in homes for the Lord's Supper. They shared their meals with great joy and generosity, and all the people praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. Now, look what comes of it. Look, watch this next part. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Oh, I love that. I love when the church is the church. When the church goes all in for Jesus, people get saved. Lives get changed. Lives get transformed and renewed in Jesus' name. Are you with me this morning? I want to go all in. I just envision a church that is all in for Jesus, because when we go all in for Jesus, it changes families, changes schools, it changes communities, it changes lives. And so they lived in a spirit of community. Community is this. Community is simply doing faith together. Not doing faith alone, but let's do faith. Let's walk our faith journey together. I want you to know this. Oh, just understand. You grow stronger in your faith when you grow together. Community is so important because the old saying is a solid truth. This is solid. You will soon become like the people you hang around. How many of you How many of you know that all too well? How many of you have found that out the hard way? You will soon become like the people you hang around. And I don't want to be around toxic people unless I'm ministering to them. There's people in my life who I'm a better person. I'm a better husband. I'm a better pastor. I'm a better Jesus follower because they're in my life. I want to ask you, who's in your life that is making you better, that's making you more like Jesus? So I'm going to encourage you, find your community. Grow together in a life group. Life groups are the small groups that meet here in the church. You see, this was their strategy. This first church, this was their strategy. Like, it wasn't like, hey, let's get saved and like I'm going to, you know, learn all about Jesus on my own. No, they're like, no, let's get together. Let's learn and grow from each other. So I want to encourage you to grow together in a life group. I'm going to challenge you in 2024, devote yourself to engage in life-giving community. I want to encourage you if you're here today. I look around the room, there are so many people that I'm still getting to know. And maybe you're here today and you're new in your faith journey. We've put together a life group that meets in the room just right across the hallway on Wednesday nights at 6:30, called Faith Foundations. And this would be a great place if you are new to this church, are new in your relationship with Jesus, and you would just like to get to know a little bit more about this faith. I've got so much more to learn. I would encourage you to come. I lead this group of people, and I welcome you to come. You just come on Wednesday nights at 6:30 to do that. But I want to challenge you, if you're here today and you've been a Jesus follower for a while and you've been in this church for a while, I want to ask you, I want to encourage you, start a life group. Start a life group in your home. Start a life group at a coffee shop. But I want to encourage you, let's do faith together. Because all in, it's more than an attitude. All in is an attitude and action. Here's the third discipline I want to talk to you about this morning, is the discipline of serving others. Serving others. Can I just be real with you here? I've been in church world for a long time. Grew up in the church, and I love the church, but there is no perfect church. And the Thrive Church said, and there is no perfect church. Now, listen, don't let that be an excuse. Some people like that make an excuse. Well, there's no perfect church, Pastor, so that's why I'm a bum. That's why I don't do anything around it. No. I want to challenge you because this year we're going all in. So there are no more excuses. But I'm convinced one of the greatest sins of the church, not talking about Thrive Church, but I'm talking about the church as a whole. Through my experience of being in church world, one of the greatest sins is the sin of gluttony. Now listen, follow me on this. Here's what gluttony is. Gluttony is excessive eating and drinking and not doing anything with it. Now I'm not talking about the chili cook-off and the dessert cook-off. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? That's not what people, you know, like, Pastor, I'm confused. That's not what I'm talking about. But there's people who they come to church. Oh, that's good. Oh. And oh, that's good. And they each and every day, oh God, this is so good. Oh God, you are so good. Okay, I just can't wait till tomorrow, because God is so good. They're taking it all in, which is great. But God never designed you to just take it all in and keep it for yourself. Are you following me? God's spirit in you that he places in you, he wants it to grow. But it's not just for your growth, but it's for the impact of the world. So for the impact of, that's the reason why he gave you those spiritual gifts. Not just for your benefit, but for the benefit of the world. In other words, there's people who deal with excessive intake without any output. Listen to Paul, listen to Peter's challenge here. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each of you, just look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about you. okay? Just receive it. And look at the other neighbor and say, he's talking about you too, so don't think you're out of this. All right? And he's talking about you. You. Everybody, just kind of you. Okay, he's talking about, all right, so I just wanted to establish who Peter is talking to here. So I see some of you pointing at me here. He's talking about you. It's not about me, it's about you. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. If you're a Jesus follower here today, you have been given gifts by God. You have spiritual gifts. If you don't know what your spiritual gifts are, that's why you need to go to Grow Track in 301. You will discover what your spiritual gifts are. So you've been given a gift to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do it as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. Here's the key word in that phrase, in that statement, is steward. Everybody say steward. Steward. Yeah, I have a brother named Stuart, not Stuart. Don't be like Stu. Be a steward. A steward is someone who manages somebody else's resources. So you're a manager. Everybody is. So some of you who have been holding out for a management position, all right, and your work, you have now, I just want to declare to you, you're a manager. Just look at your neighbor and say, congratulations, you got a management position, all right? Everything, everybody say everything. Everything. Everything you have, are you ready for it? Everything that you have, everything that you possess in life, you're not going to like this ending here. It's not yours. And if you accept that, I'm telling you, if you want freedom in your life, accept that truth. It will bring freedom. But everything you have, it's not yours. It's his. It's his. And you are called to be a steward. Don't be a steward. Be a steward. Don't be like my brother. I love my brother. He's a goofy goober, though. Understand this. This is not a clue. These are not cliches. These are spiritual truths. You have been blessed to be a blessing. You have been gifted to give, and you are surrendered to serve. Own that. Own that. These are spiritual truths to live by. Here are some effective serve tips, all right? You ready? You want to learn how to serve? One of the best ways to learn servanthood is by serving in your church. This church, Thrive Church. I want to challenge you to serve on a team. That's how we do ministry here. And I think that's how it works best, is on teams. We got multiple serve teams that make up the serve team here to church. And by the way, if you're on the serve team, you have to be on the serve team to attend this event on February 24th. We are going to have a celebration night for you, so mark your calendar. But the only people who can attend are people who are on the serve team. Mark that down, February 24th. But get on the team. We got a bunch of teams that make up one big team here. Because when you're on a team, everyone accomplishes more. Second of all, here's a great serve tip. Serve in your sweet spot. Remember what Peter was saying here, that you have a gift. There's a lot of gifts that you have been given. And listen to this. There's some gifts you don't have. Don't try to be who you're not. Be who God has created you to be. That is why you do not see me doing this. If you see me coming up here during worship time attempting to do this, ushers, just kindly pull me off the stage. All right? Because I don't have that gift. But maybe there's some of you who are here today and you're holding on to your gift and you're not using your gift. Yesterday, we had a group of men, or a group, we had not just men, men and ladies who came. We have a team called the Nehemiah team. And this is we have a leader in the back, Aaron in the back, who is taking responsibility. He's saying, man, we got a lot of stuff going on here. We got furnaces breaking down. We got a cold air coming into our life. We got a bunch of issues. And the Nehemiah team has said, we had the gifts of maintenance and carpentry. And we're going to do something about that. And again, if you see a hammer in my hand, just gently come and take the hammer out of my hand, all right? Because something's going to get broken. But we all have different gifts. Find your sweet spot. What is that sweet spot? Find that sweet spot and serve it. Doesn't it feel good when you're serving and you're ministering to people and you go home like, I feel like I was made for this. That's your sweet spot. I feel like God works through me when I do this. I'm telling you, some of you are here today, and I've met Christians who feel unfulfilled. And anytime somebody comes to me and they feel unfulfilled, I will always question them, what is your sweet spot? What are you doing? What do you mean, what am I doing? Well, I'm reading my Bible and I'm praying and I come to church. Like, no, you're not serving in your sweet spot. You're missing your purpose in life. You've been created to know God and to make him known. And the way that we make him known is through serving others. I would tell you this. If you get on our serve team, we have an expectation that you serve faithfully. Don't be inconsistent. Don't say, I can't wait to get on the serve team. And then we're waiting for you at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. Like, where are they? They're like the greeters and like, be faithful in that. And you're not being faithful to your pastor. Be faithful to God because God has called me to do this. This is important. Souls are on the line. And that leads us to serving wholeheartedly. If you join our serve team, don't be half-hearted. There's some people who say it differently, but I'll say don't serve half-hearted. Be wholehearted and serve with the servant's heart. Serve lovingly. Because listen, we are Thrive Church. We are in the people business. We're in the people business. That's our third value, is we are people loving. And we are going to love people no matter where they are in life's journey. Because remember this, all in, man, that's a really nice slogan. Oh, I like that, Pastor. That gets me all wound up. That gets me excited. But all in is more than an attitude. It's an attitude in action. Fourth discipline, I'm almost done here. We're created to impact our world. Impact your world. Like I said before, don't keep it all to yourself. The word impact is this, is to have a strong effect or influence on a situation or purpose or a person. You're created for impact. Because the Word of God says that greater is the one who's in you than the one who's in this world. You got a power inside of you. You got the power of the universe, the Holy Spirit living inside of you, and he's just dying to get out, but you won't do anything. You won't say anything to people who need to hear it. We're created for impact. Many of you, I would say all of you, are here today, right? All of you are here today because somebody had impacted your life. They told you about Jesus. I don't know if it was a parent. I don't know if it was a neighbor. I don't know if it was a friend, a youth pastor, a kids pastor. I don't know who it was, but somebody impacted your life. That's why you're here today. They impacted you here. And whatever they did, they weren't a perfect person, but whatever they did that was positive, model that impact to people in your world, in your life. Listen to Paul's all-in passion for impacting his world. I love this passage. Listen to it. He says this. The Apostle Paul, remember, he hated Christians. And now he's all in. He says, I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. You talk about all in. Talk about all in. Then he says, I do everything. Everybody say everything. I do whatever it takes without sinning to spread the good news and share in its blessings. Notice, Paul doesn't say, I just go all in. I'm just all in for Jesus. He doesn't say that. Because all in is more than just an attitude. All in is an attitude and action. You know, there are people who we have here on Impact Sunday, every third Sunday. Just last week, we had a missionary who came and shared with us what he's doing in all the world. I can't really divulge where he's at. I mean, let's just say he's in a very dangerous part of the world, okay? And when they get missionaries together in training, I've never really been through missionary training, but I can tell you probably the topics that they train missionaries in. Number one, to become a missionary, you got to accept the call. By the way, time out here. If you are a Jesus follower, you are a missionary. You are a minister and a missionary. I just want to point that out, okay? You got to accept the call. Second of all, you got to learn the people. You got to learn the culture. They got to learn the language. You can't just go into a land and say, what's wrong with you people here in China? Why don't you speak English? What's wrong with you people? How many of you, like, that would be, like, a really bad thing to do? How many of you, that would be, like, really foolish? How many of you, it would be the right thing for that missionary to learn the language? And then you have to adapt. Where is the pizza in this country? we don't eat pizza here, okay? This is Zimbabwe. I don't know. But we have to adapt. That's what Paul did. And then you got to live, love, and lead like Jesus. And then you need to pray. Pray for people. And then you need to pray for opportunity. Pray for the opportunity to speak. You got to earn the right to speak. And then tell them about Jesus. And tell them in a way that they would understand. And then invite people. Invite them to an event. Invite them to Thrive Church. I don't know. Then disciple them. Here's the mission, our mission statement. If you're not familiar, the mission statement of Thrive Church is to lead people in the 715 to become life-giving followers of Jesus. That's our mission. That's what we're trying to do here. Impact opportunities. The world. Impact opportunities is in our world. Give to impact. Support missionaries. Last November, we just got back from a missions trip to Thailand. By the way, if you're here and you supported that mission trip to Thailand, we're going to have a potluck next Sunday night at 5 o'clock here at the church. You can sign up at the Connect Center if you would like to hear more about what happened on that amazing trip to Thailand. Also this, understand this, we are praying about going to, this summer, going to El Salvador. El Salvador. If you feel like God is maybe calling you to do a mission trip to El Salvador, there's going to be an information meeting after the morning service on February 11th, after the service. But find opportunities to impact your world. We have opened up opportunities here locally. This fall, we started in a Hispanic church. Alan and Grace in the back, yeah, our pastor who for our Hispanic church. We've started that because we realize that there's a growing Hispanic population here in Wausau. So we're called to impact locally. We have a ministry called Celebrate Recovery that is just going gangbusters. We have given generously to local ministries like Hagar House, Bridge Street Mission, New Beginnings, Foster Care, Marathon County Services. We have a weekly food pantry. There's so many things. Find a place to serve locally. Look for opportunities because all in is more than an attitude. It is an attitude in action. Let me give you this last one real quick here. I would tell you this, the fifth discipline of a spiritual champion is to give generously. Give generously. Proverbs tells us, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce, which is your tithe. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. Listen to me. This is huge. This is a big one. And I don't have I'm running out of time here, but I'm going to speak on this subject. If you ever wondered about tithing, I want you to come to make sure you're into service on Sunday, February 18th. I'm going to explain it to you. But I'm telling you, it's just amazing what happens when we begin to tithe. I'm going to close with this. How many of you realize that 2024 is an election year? Yeah. How many of you are really excited about that? Don't you? Like, the commercials are going to start, and you're going to be like, be done already. Stop it. You're going to get flyers in the mail, and it's going to go right into the trash can, and you're like, oh, my word. And then they're going to get everybody all hyped up. Social media is just going to get really crazy, and all of a sudden, very close friends, they're going to hate each other, and social media is just, right? You know why? It's because that's the religion of the world. That's what the religion of the world does for us. But my point is, people are going to go all in for something that will never last. Amen. Something that can never save. What if this year, instead of going all in for something that can never last, nothing that can never save anybody, what if instead we went all in for Jesus? Let me read this passage here. Listen to the words of Jesus. Listen to what he says. He's going to tell us just a quick parable. Once upon a time, how many of you like it when it starts off like that? Once upon a time, he's telling a story. He said, you know what? The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. And in his excitement, he hid it again. And then he sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. You know what he did there? That person, when they discovered Jesus, they went all in. Everybody say all in. All in. He says, let me tell you another story here. Again, kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. And when he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything. He went all in to own it, buy it. Jesus is saying, I'm what you're looking for. The greatest treasure you could ever find. I'm telling you, you're looking for life. You're looking for eternal life. It's found in Jesus. I am worth going all in for this morning. Maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I want you to know that is the first step that you need to take today. If you would like to make Jesus, you would like to go all in and make Jesus your Lord and Savior of your life, I just want you to bow your heads and just pray with me this prayer. Just say, God, I need you. I recognize that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I acknowledge what you did for me on the cross. You saved me from my sins. Forgive me. I'm choosing today to make you the Lord and Savior of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Can we just give God praise for that? In Jesus' name, I'm going all in. I don't normally do this, and I don't do this if you don't mean it. But you're just saying, listen, I've been kind of a complacent competitor. You know what I mean? Yeah, you know what I mean by complacent competitor? Well, I fell down, and I'll do all right. I'll cross the finish line. I'll get into heaven. Whew. That's a complacent competitor. Don't be a complacent competitor. Be a spiritual champion. Go all in for Jesus. If you're here today and say, Pastor, listen, before God's eyes, I'm going to go all in for Jesus in 2024. Will you stand right now? Don't do it if you don't mean it. I'm going all in for Jesus right now. And across this room right now, you see people who are taking a stand, doing more than raising their hand, or taking a stand and saying, Lord, I realize that all in is more than an attitude. It's an attitude and action. And God, I pray that you would show up in these lives like never before. In Jesus' name I pray. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, let's give the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords a praise.
Thank you so much for checking out the Thrive Church podcast. I hope you were inspired by the message today. If you liked what you heard, please like, subscribe, and share this podcast so we can impact more lives. Remember, wherever you are in your faith journey, you are welcome, loved, and accepted. Have a wonderful day.